A clear and powerful voice shattered the silence. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah 1:2. I was stunned to hear God's voice echoing in my heart. Yet, a wave of fear washed over me as I realized the mission I had received. Why would God send me, a humble Hebrew prophet, to confront a city full of sinners? My name is Jonah, which means dove in Hebrew. I am dedicated to spreading God's word in Israel. Merely the thought of setting foot in Nineveh paralyzed me with fear. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a formidable city renowned for its grandeur and wickedness. Located on the banks of the Tigris River in what is now Iraq, its inhabitants were notorious for their cruelty. They not only looted and destroyed, but also treated prisoners with unimaginable brutality. I did not want to face the dangers of such a long and perilous journey, nor did I desire the Ninevites to repent and receive forgiveness from God. In my heart, I longed for them to receive the punishment they deserved. Therefore, I made a decision that would unleash God's wrath. I decided to flee as far from His will as possible. I ran to the nearest port and found a ship leaving in the opposite direction from that which God had sent me. Without hesitation, I paid my fare and embarked for Tarshish, a city far away in what is now Spain. I thought I would be out of God's reach there. How mistaken I was. The ship set sail and we began our voyage across the vast Mediterranean Sea. I felt restless and guilty, knowing I was disobeying God, but my stubbornness and fear were stronger. As we sailed, I retreated to the deepest part of the ship and fell asleep. Suddenly, a violent storm hit the ship. It was a storm like none before. The wind howled furiously, tearing the sails and causing the wood to creak. The sea rose in monstrous waves that threatened to swallow us. The sailors, terrified, began to call on their gods and to throw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. They were petrified, realizing that this storm was unlike any they had faced before. Water flooded the deck, and despair began to settle in the hearts of those men. Jonah 1:4-5. The captain of the ship came down to where I was sleeping and woke me, saying, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Jonah 1:6. I got up, dazed and ashamed. I knew in my heart that this storm was no coincidence, but God's hand trying to get my attention and correct my path. The desperate sailors surrounded me and began to interrogate me. "What is this that thou hast done?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Jonah 1:10. I took a deep breath and confessed, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land." Jonah 1:9. The revelation that I was fleeing from God spread quickly among the sailors, heightening the panic even further. The sailors realized that the storm was a divine manifestation. They asked me, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" I answered, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah 1:11-12. However, the sailors hesitated. They did not want to be responsible for my death and tried to row back to land. But the sea grew more violent. The situation was desperate, and the strength of the sea seemed to increase with every effort they made to return to land. Jonah 1:13. Finally, they cried unto the Lord, pleading for forgiveness. "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." Jonah 1:14. Then they took me up and cast me into the sea. As soon as my body touched the water, the sea calmed and the storm ceased. The change was instantaneous, leaving the sailors astonished and filled with fear of God. Jonah 1:15. As I sank into the depths of the sea, I watched the boat move away with the sailors marveling and fearful from the sudden change in the weather. I descended into the depths, awaiting my end. But something extraordinary happened. A great creature, a work of God, found me and swallowed me. I was enveloped by darkness and the sensation of being completely alone. Jonah 1:17. Inside the belly of the great fish, the outside world disappeared. There was only darkness and the constant sound of water around me. I remained there for 3 days and three nights. It was an indescribable experience. The darkness was absolute, the smell unbearable, and the heat stifling. My thoughts became my only companion, and I had much time to reflect on my actions and my disobedience to God. Jonah 2:1. In that darkness, I remembered the stories of my people, the Israelites, and how God had delivered them from so many hardships throughout their history. I thought of how God led Moses and the Israelites through the wilderness, how he protected and provided for them, even when they were disobedient and ungrateful. I began to pray, a prayer that sprang from the deepest part of my being. I acknowledged my disobedience and cried out to God for salvation. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:8-9. Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited me onto dry land. The impact of touching the ground was staggering, and I found myself lying on the sand, exhausted and covered in the digestive juices of the fish, but miraculously alive. Jonah 2:10. Exhausted, yet marveled, I stood up and looked around. The beach was peaceful, a stark contrast to the chaos and darkness I had experienced inside the fish. I thanked God for his mercy. Despite my disobedience, he had not abandoned me. Instead, he heard my prayer and gave me a second chance. With renewed gratitude and humility, I prepared to hear the word of God again. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Jonah 3:1-2. This time there was no doubt or resistance in my heart. I had learned the hard way that I could not escape God's presence or his call. So I rose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. The journey was long and arduous, but with each step, I felt God's presence with me, strengthening and guiding me. As I approached the city, I felt intimidated by its size and reputation. The Assyrians were known for their cruelty and ferocity in war. They had conquered and subjugated many nations, including my own people, Israel. But despite my fears, I knew I had to obey God and deliver the message he had entrusted to me. I remembered other biblical figures who also faced great challenges with faith, like David facing Goliath and Moses challenging Pharaoh. I needed to have that same courage. Then I entered the city, ready to proclaim God's word. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah 3:4. My voice echoed in the streets, and people stopped to listen, some with disdain, others with curiosity. I repeated the message incessantly, traversing the city, feeling God's presence guiding and strengthening me. Each word I pronounced was laden with the urgency and seriousness of God's impending judgment. As I proclaimed this message, I could not help but think of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities that were destroyed by fire and brimstone due to their great wickedness. God had shown his justice and his wrath against sin on that occasion, and now it seemed that Nineveh would face a similar fate. To my great surprise, the Ninevites responded in an unexpected manner. The first to show signs of repentance were those on the fringes of society, the forgotten and oppressed, who perhaps had less to lose by acknowledging their faults. Then, like a wildfire, repentance swept through the city, from the humblest to the highest echelons of society, including the king. The king, upon hearing my proclamation, stepped down from his throne, removed his royal garments, dressed in sackcloth, and sat upon ashes as a sign of humiliation and repentance. He decreed a fast throughout the city, ordering that neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. They should not eat nor drink water. He also ordered that they cry mightily unto God, and turn from their evil ways and the violence that was in their hands. Jonah 3:5-8v. The king and his people hoped that God would have compassion on them, repent of the evil that he had announced, and not destroy them. And so it was. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah 3:10. But instead of rejoicing over the salvation of the Ninevites, I felt enraged and frustrated. The Assyrians had been a constant thorn in the side of Israel. They had invaded our lands, destroyed our cities, and taken many of our people into exile. I myself had grown up hearing stories of their brutality and thirst for conquest. Now, seeing that God forgave them and showed compassion, I felt it was unfair. How could God extend his grace to a nation that had caused so much suffering to his chosen people? I left the city and sat to the east, waiting to see what would happen to Nineveh. I made a shelter to protect me from the scorching sun and sat under it, waiting to see if God would indeed fulfill his promise to forgive the city. While I was there, I had time to reflect on my own attitude and expectations of God. Was I really in a position to question his compassion and grace? Wasn't he the creator and sovereign of all, with the right to extend his mercy to whomever he wished? I thought of the history of my own people, Israel. How many times had we sinned against God and strayed from his ways? And yet, he was always willing to forgive and restore us when we repented and sought his face. As I sat outside the city, waiting to see what would happen, and struggling with my anger over God's mercy towards the Ninevites, something extraordinary happened. God, in his goodness and compassion, caused a plant to grow next to me to provide shade and relieve my discomfort. This plant, known as the gourd, sprouted miraculously overnight, becoming a leafy refuge that protected me from the scorching sun of Mesopotamia. Its large leaves provided refreshing shade, and I felt grateful for this gift from God, a demonstration of his care and attention for me. Jonah 4:6. However, the next day at dawn, God sent a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered as quickly as it had appeared. My source of shade and comfort vanished, leaving me once again exposed to the scorching sun. Jonah 4:7. As I lamented the loss of the plant and grew irritated by the apparent injustice of the situation, God spoke to me with words that penetrated deeply into my heart. Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah 4:10-11. These words struck me with a force more impactful than any storm at sea. The plant was a lesson, a mirror of my own fragility and misplaced priorities. Thus, as the last light of twilight faded on the desert horizon, my heart finally understood. My journey had not only been about the salvation of others, but profoundly about my own redemption. I became not only a messenger, but also a witness and participant in divine love, a love that transcends the limits of human justice, embracing patience and forgiveness, even for those who seem least deserving. With this new understanding, I rose from the desert and began my journey back home. I dedicated the rest of my life to sharing the stories of my travels and teaching about the importance of obeying the Lord, not out of fear of punishment, but out of trust in His supreme love. I shared with others how God had shown His grace not only to me, but also to the Ninevites, teaching that His mercy is greater than any sin we might commit. I found comfort in the words of Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:8-9. These words reminded me constantly that God has a greater and more perfect plan than anything I could understand. I returned to Israel, where I continued my mission as a prophet, now with a new perspective and renewed faith. I witnessed to many about the power of repentance and God's grace. I found strength in the words of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 51, 10-12. This experience transformed me deeply. I learned that obedience to God is essential, but also that His mercy is infinite. Each day was a new opportunity to live according to God's will, guided by His Word and His love. I began to understand that the mission of a prophet was not only to warn of judgment, but also to be a vessel of hope and God's forgiveness. If you enjoyed hearing my story of redemption, continue listening to God's Word by clicking on this video, where you will learn what God instructed about managing your finances. Don't miss Jesus' teachings on money and our relationship with finances in our lives. In Matthew 6, 19-21, Jesus teaches us, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In today's world, we are called to follow God's principles in all areas of our lives, including our finances. Jesus reminded us of the importance of trusting God for our daily needs. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6, 31-33. Learning to trust in God and follow His teachings can transform not only our personal lives, but also our communities and the world around us. Just as God used me to bring His message to the Ninevites, He can use each one of us to be a light in the midst of darkness, bringing hope and redemption to those around us. May we all learn from the story of Jonah, remembering that God's mercy is available to all who repent and seek His face. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103:8. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Amen.